30 years ago now, I was the chair of the mission and outreach for the Diocese of Alabama. And that was it was a real privilege to serve in that capacity. We looked for opportunities all around the diocese to serve underserved communities and to bring the gospel. And it was in that capacity that I got a strange phone call from a woman who said she owned a house in Montgomery that she was confident used to be an Episcopal church. We were looking for a place to open sort of an outreach ministry in Montgomery, so after having received that phone call, we decided that we would go down and take a look at this house. And so a friend of mine, who you will meet next week, Kate Shaw, he and I got in the car, drove down to Montgomery, and when we arrived at this house, it was nothing to be impressed with. It was about the size of this chapel. Same shape, had been covered in white vinyl siding that had not aged very well. There was a front porch and not very good repair on the front. The grass was overgrown, the bushes were overgrown. We were not very optimistic about this particular piece of property. But the woman drove up just a minute or two later, and she led us in the house. And she began to give us a little bit of a tour. We walked back to what had been the master bedroom. The house had been cut up into various rooms, and the master bedroom was sort of square against the back wall of the house. And you could see the exterior wall of that room had what might have been mistaken as a bay window, but it had three sides that looked unmistakably like a little alcove where the altar would have been. And then we went back into the front of the house, and she showed us a place in the ceiling where she had pulled out some of the drop ceiling. You could look up into the above that little ceiling, and you could see the trusses up there. And if you looked carefully, you could see at the apex of each of the trusses a little cross had been carved into the truss. And so that really had gotten our attention. And then the woman looked at us with a smile, and she said, "You want to see the words in the attic?" And sure. So she pulled down the little ladder that went up into the attic, and I walked up the stairs, and I looked back toward what might have been a round window at one of the ends of the church, And you could see in gold letters, faded gold letters, the words, "The Lord is in his holy temple." It kind of made the hair on the back of my neck stand up a little bit. And it was really hot August afternoon, and I was in my black shirt. I was, well, maybe more than perspiring at this point. And I felt maybe a little lightheaded, and I was overcome with a sense of what I might describe as deja vu. And as I stood there sort of waist high in the attic, amidst all the smell of the dust and the old wood, I thought I heard the voices of all those people long time ago who had offered their prayers in this little church. I could hear them. I could hear them walking back and forth from communion. I could hear the kneelers going up and down. Then I thought in my imagination I could see the altar there in the little alcove, and I could see it decorated with the poinsettias for Christmas and the lilies for Easter. I could, in my imagination, see young couples standing in front of the altar exchanging their vows. I could see a casket in the middle of the room as that little congregation all those years ago had celebrated the life of someone they loved but see no longer. It was as if all of those moments in the life of that congregation had been stored up in the attic just waiting for somebody to come and rediscover them. Not just me, anybody. My friend Gates at the foot of the extension ladder said, What do you see up there? And I said, you've got to see this for yourself. Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. It's a hugely important feast day in the life of our church, but it's I'm sure the least well understood. I could stand here and talk for hours about the mystery, the profound nature of the Trinity. We could talk about the Council of Chalcedon, the Council of Trent, or Nicaea. I could go on and on about all the theological ink that's been spilled trying to explain the mystery of the Trinity. But the Trinity is one of those things that's hard to understand and better experience. So maybe I could talk about my experience of the Trinity, but I don't know if that'd do any better, because my experience may be different than your experience, and to be truthful, sometimes my experience changes day by day or year by year. So even that would defy kind of explanation. And so where does that leave us today? In a few moments, when I finish preaching up here, we will all stand and face the front, and we will rehearse the Nicene Creed. And the Nicene Creed is what we believe states with some authority our understanding of the Trinity. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. We will make those statements. We'll affirm that belief, even though, when we're honest with ourselves, we understand that it defies explanation. But perhaps the insight we get into the nature of the Trinity when we affirm God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is that at God's very essence, there is relationship. That God in the Trinity is a loving, generous, overflowingly, abundantly graceful relationship. We know from Genesis that we are created in God's image. And so we are created to be in relationship. A loving, generous, grace-filled relationship. And not just those of us gathered together here today in this chapel, but all of the saints who went before us, who are with us now, who will follow us. We are all united in our relationship with each other and with God. And as I say, those relationships transcend the boundaries of time. My own mother passed away about 2 years ago, and we still have a relationship. I still talk to my mother, and she talks back to me more quietly than she used to. So I have to listen more carefully to what she's telling me. And she often tells me if I'd listened more carefully to her when she was alive, I'd be better off today. We share in those beautiful beautiful relationships with our families and our friends, our relatives, all those with whom we share this wonderful God-given life together. And when I think about that, when I think about the character of the relationships that we share, and the grace that God has given us, it kind of makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up a little bit. And I look around this room, and I can experience the beauty and the grace of the Trinity. We can share this moment, and we can look at each other and invest in the relationship. And those words from the act come true. And we realize that the Lord is in his holy place.